everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Hey, it's good to have you here again. And you know what? You've got another All Cal episode. I know it's more fun when we got Elron or we have Meredith, but you know what? Can't always arrange it, and sometimes it's nice for me to just have you guys all to myself. And so I put together a very special, very informative topic, maybe a little bit controversial, I hope a lot educational. It's going to be about some simple things we could do that would vastly improve our profession. All right, if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, go there now, because right below this video, right down there, we've got additional texts and links and sometimes graphics and stuff like that that you can get more out of this podcast. And also, let me tell you that right up there in that corner right there, there's a VIP button. Click to be a VIP. It will happen to get instant access to an index of all of our videos, more than 200 hypnosis training videos you can get for free. And I tell you what, this website probably will teach you more than any other hypnosis training certification program around the world. So, I mean, if you just started off with number one and went through all the way, you'd probably learn more than you would in any hypnosis training certification program out there in the world, live, video, online, whatever, except, of course, for my training programs, because these are just the tips of the iceberg. When we get into class, we really get into the deep stuff. So, also, I want to let you know that, and then we'll get into the good stuff. I always got to give a little bit of a commercial here. I've got the Week of Power training coming up. Oh, did you read the feedback from the last group? The Week of Power. What's the Week of Power? It's 5-Path Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification Course and 7-Path Mind, Body, Spirit Self-Hypnosis Certification Course. In 7 days, we will cram your head with so much good stuff, and you get to practice most of what we actually go over in class, so that you will find out that it is a skill and confidence building course. It is for people who are already certified by some other reputable organization, such as the National Guild of Hypnotists, and want to take their hypnosis practice to the next level. Also, I have it's the NGH approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Course. It's the same course as the Week of Power, but we spend 3 days going over the basics so that, you know, you're up to speed. You know how to hypnotize, you know how to test overtly, covertly, all that kind of stuff, so that you'll be ready for the advanced techniques in 5-Path and 7-Path. And that class is coming up, two of them, one scheduled in July. And you can save on early enrollment if you act quickly. And also big savings on our October through November. It's October 31st through November 11th this year, 2011. Big savings on early enrollment. Now, of course, if you're watching this in 2012, 13, 14, 15, 50, whatever it is, you know what? Some here on this page, and things might shuffle around in the future, but somewhere on this page, there is a link to my current schedule. I always have my current schedule on hypnosiscenter.com. Go there. Okay. Enough with all this self-promotion. Squeeze one little thing in. We also have the ability to teach you this live course online. Just plug in. All that information is over there. And also, we have the 5-Path 2.0 video course, where you can also learn 5-Path. All right. Now, simple things we can do to vastly, and even more vastly improve our profession. Oh, for goodness sakes. You know what we got to do? I got right here. We have to agree on what hypnosis really is. I especially noticed this in my advanced hypnotherapy classes, the Week of Power. I'll have anywhere from 15... 16, 17, 18, I don't let the classes get too big. Hypnotists and hypnotherapists and doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists and all these people who are professionals and know something about hypnosis, and they don't even agree on what hypnosis is. Hypnosis is not a form of sleep. It is not normal somnambulism like sleepwalking. That's a very, very old thought. I'm going to offer you some suggestions. I got it written right down here. And if we could just settle on some things that I'm going to give you, it would vastly improve the profession because we would all be on the same page and we would be working at a much higher level as a profession than we're currently doing now. There's just a few people. I'd like the one percenters, the best of the best, the people that we try to train to get out there and be the very, very best of the best, the one percenters, hypno one percenters. I'd like them to be the 99 percenters. I'd like to 99% of the profession to be up to that level, at least 80%. And this is how we're going to do it, my plan. First of all, we've got to understand that hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. We've got to get away from this, you know, hypnosis is this or hypnosis is that. And there's a definition that I've been kind of cool with for a while, but I think it's time that we now move beyond this one, which is a pretty good definition, and it is the bypass of the critical factor and the acceptance of acceptable selective thinking. And that one was in the Handbook of Occupational Titles, United States Government Handbook of Occupational Titles, as a definition for hypnosis when they defined the occupation of hypnotherapist. And it's more than just that. And I'm going to get into that with you. But first, let's talk about, I want you to begin thinking about hypnosis as simply a heightened state of suggestibility. And I kind of like the Harry Aaron scale of the levels of hypnosis. And I modified it a little bit to make it, in my mind, more useful. But you have normal waking consciousness, no hypnosis. And then you have hypnoidal, then you have light, then you have medium, then you have the three somnambulistic phases, which I call the threshold of somnambulism, full somnambulism, and profound somnambulism. And you might be thinking, but Cal, you just got through saying hypnosis is not somnambulism. Okay, a long time ago, it was thought that hypnosis was sleep. And, you know, they thought that it was like when someone was sleepwalking, and the technical word for sleepwalking is somnambulism. When the hypnotist says somnambulism, he or she does not mean that you're asleep. I mean, if you've got any clue of what's going on at all in this profession, you know that that's not sleep. So we could probably call it hypnotic somnambulism, which is a deep state of hypnosis, so deep that we can create anesthesia, we can cause hallucinations by suggestions and all that good stuff. And the deeper the hypnosis is, the more readily the suggestions are accepted. Now, if hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility, we got to realize a couple of things. First of all, human beings are naturally suggestible. That's right. Even though hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility, there is also a normal state of suggestibility. We're all suggestible to varying degrees in certain circumstances. And all the different things, the factors that contribute to normal waking suggestibility, maybe I'll get into in an episode down the road or something. But I've prepared a little definition I want to use for this particular episode for suggestibility. Suggestibility is the level to which someone can accept suggestions as being true, which varies according to circumstances. The greater the level of suggestibility, the greater the effect that the suggestions offered will affect their perceptions of reality, their beliefs, habits, and emotions. And of course, I'm talking about the individual that we are hypnotizing. The greater the level of suggestibility, the greater the effect that suggestions will have and will affect our clients. Let's just say that our clients' perceptions of reality, their beliefs, their habits, and emotions. In high levels of suggestibility, especially like the somnambulistic states, threshold of somnambulism, profound somnambulism, those levels, suggestions can be profoundly. My phone just beeped, almost threw me off there for a minute. Suggestions can profoundly affect perceptions, causing amnesia, anesthesia, and hallucinations. And I don't feel so bad about the phone because I was watching one of the major news networks today, and the anchor on TV, his phone went off. So I guess I'm in good company. But don't let that happen in class. Turn off your phones. All right. Move. So right there, let's really get a good handle on this. Let's reach, get my phone and make sure that it's off, okay? We want to make sure that we have an agreed upon definition of hypnosis. Now, there's a starting place. Let's talk about, leave a comment below if you think you've got a better definition. You know what? I'm not ego invested in this definition. I just want us to have a good definition, a model, a paradigm, an understanding of what hypnosis really is that we can put out there and spread in the profession. It's time to go beyond the simplistic idea that hypnosis is the bypass of the critical factor and establishment of acceptable selective thinking. And I'll get into that more in an upcoming episode. All right, number two on my list, move away from emphasizing the progressive relaxation induction and get everyone confident in using faster inductions. Oh my gosh, it's time. It's time. It's time to move away from the old-fashioned, ineffective, unreliable progressive relaxation. You know, the sad truth is it's probably the most popular hypnotic induction used by all hypnotists everywhere. But in truth, let me tell you some problems with it. It takes too long. I can't imagine someone spending 10 to 20 minutes every single session just to hypnotize someone. You know what? At our center, the most we ever spend is about 3 or 4 minutes. That's with like the Elman Banyan induction. And probably 95% of the sessions that I do, including the first session with a client, I'm going to do either the 8-word induction, the 3-word induction, or the time tunneling affect induced age regression induction. And those are done usually within a few seconds. We need to start moving towards that because the progressive relaxation induction takes too long. It's not reliable, not as reliable. You know, all things compared, all things being equal, the longer the induction, the more likely it is to just simply not work. And here's why. Because there's just time for stuff to go wrong, for distractions to happen, for loss of concentration to happen. And if you just pop someone into hypnosis in a few seconds, then it's going to be more reliable. Another problem with the progressive relaxation induction is it may induce sleep before you get to hypnosis. You take a guy like me, come in, get off early from work, come in to go have my hypnosis session. It's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You put me in a recliner, put my feet up, and you'd say, relax, relax, in a gazillion different ways for 20 minutes. I'm going to fall asleep. And there's a whole bunch of people out there like me, even in the morning. I fall asleep in my dentist chair. All right. They do not take someone to a specific level of hypnosis. You know what? It's like they say, begin with the end in mind. When you begin your hypnotic induction, you should not just go blah, 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 and then when the script is over, start reading another script. You need to start with the end in mind. And someone can leave a comment down there as to who that was that uttered that profound statement. Begin with the end in mind. Now, so you, if you're doing the kind of work that Five Pathers do, which is insight work, use age regression and things like that, then you need to have at least the threshold of somnambulism, which is a deep level of hypnosis. And so you need to have an induction that will reliably and quickly take your client to that level. And progressive relaxation inductions don't take people to any specific level of hypnosis. They do not have a built-in test for that level of hypnosis. I'll probably just put a link down there. We've offered it to you a gazillion times, and I'll show you, or you can just do a search for Elman Banyan induction, and it takes people to a specific level of hypnosis. 3 or 4 minutes, they're there, somnambulism, and you can keep going. All right, let me check the time. You know, can you imagine what that would do for the profession if we could start getting people into a deep state of hypnosis on purpose? You know, the truth is, a lot of hypnotists out there, maybe even more than we care to admit, have never taken an individual into somnambulism on purpose and never tested for that level of hypnosis. All right, that would hugely change our profession. We would get better results. We would get more respect from the other professions. We would have more confidence in ourselves and the work we do. And the confidence that we have in ourselves and the work we do would radiate out there. Our clients would do better. We'd get more referrals. We'd make more money. It's all good. Simple, just the two simple things that I've mentioned so far may make a very big difference. But then, here's another thing. Not only do we have to agree on what hypnosis is, we have to have an understanding of what hypnosis is not. Okay, I said it before. Hypnosis is not sleep. Yes, I know hypnotists use the word sleep sometime, and if you're a good hypnotherapist or hypnotist, in your pre-talk you say, if I use the word sleep, I don't mean normal, natural sleep. I just mean to look like you're asleep. Be deeply relaxed with your eyes closed. Okay, and you get them to nod their head. And because it's very useful, like in the 8-word induction or the 3-word induction, those kinds of inductions, to be able to just use the word sleep, which is shorthand for relax deeply with your eyes closed. Look like you're asleep. Meditation is not the same as hypnosis. I just put a blog entry on someone's comment on someone's blog yesterday. Did anyone know the difference between meditation and hypnosis? It's simple. Here you go. Get out your pens and pencils, ladies and gentlemen. There is no form of meditation in which the primary intent is to create a heightened state of suggestibility. Ta-da! Very simple. And in every case, when we create hypnosis, our intent is to create a heightened state of suggestibility. In meditation, we never test for the level of suggestibility. In hypnosis, we always should test to make sure that we've got a level of suggestibility. Now, is it possible that while someone is in meditation that they could accidentally become more suggestible? Sure. But, you know, that can happen when you're driving. That can happen when you're watching TV. You can accidentally become more suggestible. But the hypnotist and hypnotherapist is on purpose trying to take you to, and if you're a one percenter, best of the best, you're taking them to a very deep state of suggestibility and testing for it and convincing your client that they're hypnotized. Okay. Alpha brain waves have little or nothing to do with hypnosis. I see it all the time. Or you can test for hypnosis by testing for alpha brain waves. No, not true at all. If you watch people doing like age regression work, parts therapy work, they're very animated and they may be very excited, they may be angry, but they're still in a heightened state of suggestibility. They can still be somnambulistic and be yelling and screaming, pounding on a pillow, reliving an earlier event that was pleasant or unpleasant, and that kind of brain activity is not consistent with what people are talking about when they talk about alpha brain waves. So get that out of your head. Hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. We get that as a profession, and it's a step up. All right, you guys, you experienced hypnotists out there, you might want to debate this with me. And I'd love to debate it with you. Leave your comments below if you don't like what I'm about to say. Okay. The coma state, the Easdale state, is not a state of hypnosis. I'm waiting for everyone to gasp that knows what I'm talking about. Oh, that's almost sacrilegious, Cal. But let me tell you what. It's not a state of hypnosis. Hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. So you're thinking, what is it, Cal? What it is an altered state of consciousness that can be reached by way of hypnosis. All right. And the other thing I want to tell you about is ultra depth, the secret state. That is also not a state of hypnosis. Now, it used to be called ultra depth. Then it was, called the secret state. And I remember when I went to that training with James Ramey, and I thought, this is not hypnosis. Because the major, like the unique selling proposition of ultra depth is that it is not a suggestible state, or the secret state. So now James Ramey has kind of re-examined that whole thing, and what he's come up with, and I think he's totally right about this. The secret state, which used to be called the ultra-depth state, is not a state of heightened suggestibility. And this is a good thing, because according to them, when you are in ultra-depth, you can experience age regression or past life regression without the complications of suggestibility, which can cause confabulation. All right, look that up in your dictionary. Okay. So then what they've done is they've repackaged, if I understand right, and James, if you want to, you know, leave a comment to straighten me out on this, they said, okay, now we have the Secort state, which is a non-suggestible state. It's an altered state of consciousness, and we use the ultra-depth process, which is a process of taking someone into somnambulism, and which is a hypnotic process. Yes, that is hypnosis. But then into coma state, which is an altered state of consciousness that's not hypnosis, and then eventually into the Secort state, which is not a state of hypnosis. All right, I've got more stuff for you. I'm going to do a couple of more episodes. So you have a couple more All Cal episodes coming. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to wrap it up for now, keep it at 20 minutes. And I tell you what, I hope to see you at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. It's coming up in August. Go to ngh.net and get all the information. Also, there's my Week of Power is going to be there. I believe it's going to be 4 days before the convention, 3 days after the convention. Sign up now. That class always, you know, fills up very nicely. We don't want you to be left out. Also, if you've already gone through my 5-path course and 7-path course, the Week of Power, you know what you can do? Check out the other trainers. Get an NLP course in there. I like, Will Horton's course. I believe he's teaching. He usually does. And so support the National Guild of Hypnotists. They support you in many, many ways. Okay, that's it. Remember to visit my websites, calbanion.com, right here. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. All my schedules are there. There's cool articles on hypnosis, a gazillion different things. Go to hypnosis.org. I teach you how to do things like the Ellman-Banyan induction and stuff like that, free video training that's even more particular about the tools of inductions there. And gosh, that's about it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.